Congressman Doug Lamborn, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to me today.
You are welcome.
Why are you running for re-election in the 5th Congressional District?
Should I be fortunate enough to be re-elected, there are some things I really want to go back to Washington and work on. I've been working on, but we're not done yet. I really want to make sure that the economy comes out even stronger than before. We had a number of years of stagnation, slow growth. People said, oh, low growth is kind of the new normal. But under Donald Trump and with the tax cuts that we've done, the economy is just really booming right now and getting stronger and stronger. There are more job openings than there are unemployed people in this country. And there's a new confidence and optimism. Businesses are really investing. So we got to keep up this economic growth. I'd say that that's number one. Number two is strengthening our military. And as you know, I'm on the Armed Services Committee, and I have a senior position on that committee. And that's a real opportunity for me to make sure that the military is properly funded. We had slow funding there for a number of years recently, but that's coming around and we're beefing up the spending. But we have to make sure that this money is spent effectively. You know, we're in a dangerous world and we have near peers out there like Russia and China that are looking at where we're strong and looking at where we're weak, and they're trying to exploit our weaknesses, like in space. You know, we got some great capabilities in space, but we have some real vulnerabilities in space, and they're going after those vulnerabilities. And it's going to take some really hard work and some money, but also some ingenuity to make sure that we counter that threat properly. But just in the whole realm of national defense, I'm really excited about working on that. You know, we have such a strong defense presence here in the 5th Congressional District of Colorado, with Fort Carson and NORAD and Peterson, Schriever, the Air Force Academy. A lot of defense industry folks are here and great companies helping the military. We have a lot going on, and I've been so involved in that, but the job's not done yet. And then I guess lastly, my third priority, should I be reelected, would be to help Donald Trump with immigration. You know, we have a border situation that's really not where it should be. You know, in the news, we have this army of 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people that is coming to our border and just trying to overwhelm our border and come in. And I know why people want to come to America. It's the land of opportunity, but we have to have a reasonable and rational immigration policy, and we have to have some effective border security as well. So I'd say that that's my third priority that I want to work on also.
And just to circle back, so you mentioned the economy and the tax cuts that you supported. One aspect of that that you didn't mention is the deficit, which, you know, the Congressional Budget Office has said that the tax cut bill would increase the deficit and has already increased the deficit in this most recent fiscal year. Are you concerned about that? And what do you think needs to be done to ensure that that deficit doesn't continue to grow?
Jake, I'm absolutely concerned about that. Thank you for pointing that important concern out. And we all should be concerned about it. That was my biggest misgiving when I voted for a recent budget. I didn't vote for this last one, the continuing resolution, partly because of deficit concerns. But it's such a concern. I mean, I felt we had to beef up the military and get that spending back the way it should be. But yes, we do have a deficit, at least in the short term, that's growing. Now, let me say this. The best long-term solution, which is getting spending under control and entitlements under control, and we can talk more about that in a minute, but we have to have growth as a country. The better growth we have as a country, the bigger the pie is, the easier it is to pay our debts. And if we don't have growth, if we have a stagnating economy plus deficits, that's the worst of all possible worlds. Even though we have more spending than we have revenues, at least we have a growing economy. And for the future, that's the trajectory that we have to be on. But having said that, I agree that these deficits are unacceptable. Discretionary spending, which we tend to concentrate on in Congress because we can do something about it, is about a third of the budget. The part that's on automatic pilot is about almost two-thirds of the budget. That's Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, interest on the national debt, and a few other similar things. And those things are case-driven. They're on automatic pilot, and until we change the rules on how those things are funded and who's eligible, and there's some fraud, waste, and abuse, but also we're very generous with our benefits, and maybe those things have to be reexamined. Medicaid, I'd like to see that given as block grants to the states, and let the 50 laboratories of democracy, as it said, let the states be in control of that particular part of the budget, and they'll, I think, do a better job than having rules issued out of Washington for how each state has to use Medicaid dollars. That's one specific reform that I think would help get part of our entitlement under control. But you're right, the deficits are unacceptable.
And you also mentioned immigration. What specifically would you like to see happen at the borders to address immigration?
Well, we have a really unacceptable situation right now in one particular regard, and that is if people just show up and say, hey, I want to seek asylum, then they're led into the country and they are basically given months and months. In fact, that sometimes stretches out to years before they ever even get their hearing. And if they're not scrupulous, they're going to disappear into the economy and not show up for their hearing. And then they become one of the undocumented 11 or so, no one even has a good number, 11 or so million people that are living here as illegal aliens. And we need to do a better job at that. So part of it is reforming how asylum is done. The way it's supposed to be done is you apply for asylum in your home country. And then if you have a legitimate case where you're being persecuted or something like that, human rights abuses, we can process that. But if people just want to come here to have a better standard of living, and I don't blame them for that, but we can't just take people with open borders. And, you know, we just can't take everyone in the world who wants to be here, because half the world would show up at our doorsteps. And so we have to have an asylum process. And, you know, I bring that up. That's only part of the puzzle, but I bring that up because that's been in the news a lot lately, including this army of 5,000 to 7,000 people that's coming toward our border.
Another issue that you've been involved with is the repeal of the Affordable Care Act. You've supported that in the past. What are your thoughts on that issue at the moment? Obviously, efforts to repeal the Affordable Care Act have failed. Do you think it's time to move on from that issue?
I would still like to repeal all of Obamacare. Now, we did repeal the individual mandate, and that was a good thing. That was a burden on people that shouldn't have had to have been there. So I'm glad we did that. Now, the Republican plans did address pre-existing conditions, and I think did so in a very clear-sighted and honest way by addressing people who have pre-existing conditions, as opposed to the Obamacare remedy, which was to raise expenses for everybody, require them to have insurance whether they wanted it or not, or whether that was the best for them or not, and then when everyone was covered, that would also include pre-existing conditions. The better way is to just address people who have pre-existing conditions, make sure that they have access to insurance. And you know, some states are already doing this way before Obamacare ever came along. I was in the Colorado State Legislature, and we worked on that a lot, and we had a pretty good system way before Obamacare. So let's address pre-existing conditions, but make sure that everyone has the freedom and flexibility to do what's best for them and have a lot of different options available, not just one size fits all.
So you've touted the fact that you're one of the most conservative members of Congress. How do you square that with the need as a representative to represent all members of your constituency, including Democrats and independents?
Yeah, great question, Jake. One thing that I do for everyone in my district is to make sure that if they need a service from the government, if they have a claim that's not being treated fairly or given proper consideration, we will go to bat for them. And we don't ask what their registration is. We don't even ask if they're registered to vote. We say, if you're a member of this community of constituents of the district, we will help you. And as a matter of fact, in the 11 and a half years I've been in Congress, we've helped over 12,000 people with separate cases. We've recovered many millions of dollars in people that had claims, whether it's Social Security, whether it's disability, whether it's veterans benefits. And that has been life-changing in people's lives in so many cases, or getting them access to government healthcare like the VA when they were being denied. You know, that's life-changing also. So, Jake, we have really gone out of our way to help everyone in the district. Now, when it comes to philosophy, I'm not going to be able to have a philosophy that everyone agrees with. No representative would have a philosophy that everyone disagrees with. In fact, we kind of, unfortunately, have a polarized country in many respects right now. And so, you know, there's a lot of stress and angst over politics right now. And you can't make everyone happy. I learned a long time ago, you just can't make everyone happy. So you have to be true to what you believe, put it out there, and see if the voters agree with that. And if so, you have to live up to what you said you would do. And I've tried my best to do that.
You've been criticized in the past for not maybe being as available as some would like you to be here in the district, not hosting as many town halls as people would like to see, not participating in debates during elections. What's your response to that criticism?
Well, there's a lot of ways of being available. And I try to be available in a lot of different ways. I mean, you can't be everywhere, and there's only certain a number of hours in the day. But I've had a lot of debates or town halls in the past. Sometimes people want to protest. You know, they're not really there to listen or to debate. They want to make their views known, and that seems like to them the best opportunity to do so. So you always have to work through that, and that sometimes is kind of, you know, creates a lot of friction and you know, makes it harder to do things that you'd want to do. But I through my office, I've got great people that take all kinds of questions or comments from people, forward that on to me. We discuss it. We get back to folks. We try our best to be communicating, whether people call us by email or phone calls or whatever the way of communication might be. And we try to be very responsive. Once in a while, something will fall through the cracks. I apologize if and when that ever happens. It's certainly never intentional. But I think we have a really good record when you compare everyone in Colorado, how we try to be very responsive to people's real questions and needs.
You mentioned polarization. Our country is extremely polarized at the moment. Politics is becoming more and more divisive, it seems. And some folks will attribute that to rhetoric coming from the White House and some of sort of the style of politics that is practiced by President Trump. What's your sense of why our country's polarized and of what can be done to try to bridge that divide?
Well, I don't know all the causes, and I don't want to just blame one side or the other. There's probably you know, enough blame out there for everyone to have a little bit of accountability for it. But rather than assign blame, I would like to go forward and hope that people can be civil, hope that people can be respectful, hope that people can, rather than demonizing their opponents, they explain why they disagree in a rational and hopefully respectful way. For people of faith, I'm one of that number. If we realize that we're all made in God's image and we all have a certain dignity as a human being, and our political system gives us great respect and dignity as well. I think we're the best system in the world, and I don't mind coming out and saying that. I think that if we keep those values in mind, we'll do a lot better job of listening to each other and being civil.
And I just have to say, President Trump has a style of communicating that doesn't always fall in line with what you're describing. He's been known to call people names and be combative in his rhetoric and not always embody the kinds of conservative Christian values that you just mentioned. Is that a concern for you?
Well, he has a style that he's said and done things that I don't agree with and haven't agreed with. He comes part of that, I think, is a New York style of confrontation that is different than how we do things here in Colorado. In fact, it may be different than any place outside of New York, for that matter. I have disagreements on style. So where I may have a lot of agreement over policy and the overall direction that we're going in under the Trump administration, I do have some disagreements with how some things have been done from a style perspective. That's for sure.
Finally, I'll just give you an opportunity to sort of make a pitch to voters who are listening right now. Why should folks vote for you to represent the 5th Congressional District?
Well, and thanks for that opportunity. I'm glad we could have a conversation here today. I want voters to know that I will try my hardest to build on the record that I already have. People can see how I vote, number one, and how I work for the interests of our district, number two. We have a very strong military presence in our district, and so it's a real honor for me to work on, number one, national security, but number two, the interests of our district at the same time by helping make sure that the military is strong, making sure it's properly funded, making sure that it's going forward with cutting-edge technology. That keeps us ahead of our adversaries, and it creates a lot of jobs in the process. We have some really great high-tech things, whether it's cyber, whether it's directed energy, whether it's space missions, that are going on here in the 5th District of Colorado. And I want to make sure that those things are strengthened, and I will use my position on the Armed Services Committee to do that. I also have a great position on the Natural Resources Committee, and there I want to make sure our public lands are available for everybody's use. I want to make sure that resources are able to be produced in a responsible way that increases jobs and increases the economy while preserving the beauty and the special places that we have as a country. And on veterans issues, I served 10 years on the Veterans Committee, and I know a lot about how to help veterans. And I do that locally through my staff, and I've got great people helping me do so, as well as in Congress. So those are the kinds of things that I've worked hard on. I'll continue to work on. The mission isn't complete yet. I would like to still contribute for the next 2 years to make sure that those things are strengthened even more. We have a lot of opportunity in this country. We've got some great things happening, and I want to see them brought to the next level.
Congressman Lamborn, thanks so much for your time.
Great to talk.